encrusted with dried blood. The base of my skull hurts. I must have banged myself a good one passing out, or got hit in the back of my head when I was fighting Riordan's men. I'm sorry I hit you, but I was afraid you were... Oh, Danny, what did he do to you? He beat you, then I hit you too. She looks like she might cry. She touches my face gently and I flinch. Get off me! I'm going to kill him, she whispers. And something in the softly spoken words surprises me. Like she's turning all bloodthirsty, becoming like me. I try to figure out if TP was the dream or Joe is, or they both are. I have the weirdest dreams sometimes. As if TP would actually bother trying to give me advice. I should have known it was a dream instantly by the fact that she wasn't killing me. I ran into him, I tell her. As in collided. Twice. That's why my face is so beat up. Well, it's most of the reason. Are you defending Riordan? Look what he's done to you. Danny, has he brainwashed you? Are you getting Stockholm Syndrome? What the feck's Stockholm got to do with any of this? Ain't that some city in Sweden? She wraps her arms around me and gets all in my space. It's awkward with my hands chained above my head and my ankles shackled to the floor. She sort of hugs me, and I can't get her off me because I'm stuck. Dude! I give a whole body shrug, trying to dislodge her. She's tenacious, lopping all over me. What are you doing? When she pulls back, I see she's crying. I must look pretty bad. Why did you do it? She sniffs and wipes her nose with the back of her hand. We talked and talked about it, and can't figure it out. You didn't just wave a red flag at a bull. You sauntered right up to it, punched it in the face, then tried to dance on its horns. Danny, what were you thinking? I sigh. People ask the stupidest questions. Sometimes you don't think. You just do. Some moments are too golden to pass up. You play, you pay. I've always been okay with that. I peer at her suspiciously. Joe can't be here. Not in the guts of Chester's. You're not real, I say. She feels my forehead. You're running a fever. I know. I'm dripping sweat and freezing cold. I always get a fever if I get dangerously hungry. It's another feckin' weakness. So many super strengths. So many limits. I don't let folks know about them. Must have caught a cold, I tell her. I have food stuffed in every pocket, but with my hands chained above my head, I can't get to one bite of it. Get a protein bar out of my pocket and feed it to me. If this is really happening, I'll get strong again and my body temp will drop back to normal. If this is a dream, at least I'll get to dream the taste of food. I've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. I don't suppose you've seen a key to these manacles lying around somewhere convenient. I say with no hope. Riordan's not sloppy. Four protein bars later, I know I'm not dreaming. My head is still throbbing, but starting to clear. TP wasn't real. But Joe is. She tells me word spread everywhere that I'd single-handedly taken on a bunch of Fae and Chesters, then sauntered out all cocky-like with an Unseelie Prince. Marjorie insisted the Unseelie Prince had killed me, and managed to convince a lot of she-sheep to write me off, taking up right where Rowan had left off, smearing my name. Kat had seen things differently. She'd done some investigating before making her decision. According to onlookers, the prince who'd walked me out hadn't been wearing a torque. The Unseelie Princes have silver torques around their necks that glow like they're radioactive. The necklace seems to be part of them, inseparable, like their tattoos and wings. That told Kat all she needed to know. If the prince wasn't wearing a torque, it had to be Christian who'd escorted me out. I'm not sure how she made the next deductive leap, but I'm glad she did. She sent a group of girls to Chester's to search for me, believing Riordan had gone after me and captured me. I'm amazed by how speedily she acted. Maybe Kat's going to do all right by the she-seers. How did she figure out I was missing so quickly? You've been gone for 3 days, Danny. I'm stunned. I've been chained down here for 3 days. No wonder I'm starving. How the feck did you find me? I figured I was like buried in the dungeon of Chester's or something. You are. I saw Riordan get off an elevator hidden in the wall outside the Retro Club. The door didn't close all the way, and I slipped in when nobody was looking. I close my eyes and sigh. There were three mistakes in that sentence. One, Riordan doesn't get seen if he doesn't want to. Two, the doors around this place don't stay slightly open. Three, nobody slips into them without being noticed. The only way Joe saw Riordan get off an elevator was if he let her. Which means he hadn't been able to find my little boyfriend over the past 3 days. But he'd sure found somebody else to use against me. On the insides of my eyelids, I see Joe chained, beaten. Riordan hadn't even had to leave his club. He just sat back and waited for whoever showed up first, looking for me. I open my eyes. Get out of here, Joe! I say, now!
Neither of you are going anywhere,
Riordan says as he steps from the shadows. 7. I fall to pieces. I'm absurdly easy to break if you know the right buttons to push. If you've read any comics, you know superheroes have a critical vulnerability. The society they protect. Joe's part of my society. Fact is, any she-sheep chained up next to me would have me singing a new tune. Well, maybe not Marjorie. Actually, probably even her, too. The hard thing for me is knowing I can take more than everyone else. Like that stupid bunny that used to be in commercials all the time. I take a licking and keep on kicking, and punching and breathing. Not true, other folks. They die so easily. Besides, I'm not afraid of the big sleep. I figure it's just another adventure. I try to talk Riordan out of chaining Joe up. He doesn't listen to me. Joe goes ballistic when he grabs her, screaming and yelling and kicking. I'm kind of impressed by how hard she fights. I think watching Dublin get destroyed on Halloween, seeing our friend Barb get taken by the Shisadu and ridden as a machine gun toting bitch to massacre so many of us, plus, living in a world where you have to shake your shoes out before you put them on to make sure you don't get eaten by a shade faster than you can say, "Oh, shit," is messing with Joe's head. She used to be like Kat, all even-tempered and cautious with decisions, didn't have a sharp word for anyone. "I'm going to kill you, you bastard. You won't get away with this." She's shouting, "Let me go. Get your hands off me, you son of a bitch." Riordan chains her next to me. She struggles, but it's like watching a fly batting at a window, trying to get outside. You know it's never going to work. I give her a look. Got any more bright ideas, Joe? Try bringing a few babies for him to torture next time. She gives her chains a violent jerk. We're bolted to a stone wall. Good luck with that. If I couldn't break them with my super strength, she's got a snowball's chance in hell. I think he has the metal spelled. I think he has everything spelled. I want to know where he learns his spells so I can sign up for a crash course. If I've been down here 3 days, I should be, well, messier than I am. How did he keep me unconscious for 3 days? Put me in some kind of suspended animation? I seriously have to pee.
I was trying to help, she says.
You should have just taken a baseball bat to my head. Put me out of my misery. I could have held out down here forever until she went and served herself up to Riordan as a weapon. Riordan stands in front of us, legs apart, arms folded over his chest. He's a big dude. I wonder if Joe knows he has fangs. I wonder what he is. I wonder why she's staring at him like that. She hates him. I trash my pointless wanderings and cut to the chase. Procrastinating is number 3 on my stupid list. You still end up exactly where you didn't want to be, doing exactly what you didn't want to do, with the only difference being that you lost all that time in between, during which you could have been doing something fun. Even worse,
You probably stayed in a stressed-out, crappy mood the whole time you were avoiding it. If you know something is inevitable, do it and get it over with. Move on. Life is short. If he tortures Joe, I'll cave. I know it. He knows it. Ergo, torturing her is a great big fat waste of time. His, mine, hers. What do you want from me, Riordan? I say.
It's decision time, Danny.
Deaf much? I said, what do you want from me?
You owe me compensation.
Dude, the bush is ready. Why are you still beating around it?
I've lived a long time, kid, and I've never heard anyone mutilate the English language quite like you.
How long is that? Joe says. I yawn, big and dramatic. Still beaten, and me all bush-like. I give an all-body bushy bristle. His eyes narrow on me like he's thinking. Like maybe he hasn't decided exactly what he wants from me yet. That worries me. It should be real simple. He wants me to work for him. I know he's not as bright as I am, so I help him out. I'll look into your little ice mystery, Riordan. I'll put it at the top of my priority list. Unchain us already.
It's not that simple anymore. You complicated the fuck out of things when you decided to defy me publicly. Nobody does that and lives.
Huh. Breathing here, I say. Do you have to keep saying fuck around her? She's barely 13. Joe says. 14, I correct irritably.
My men want you dead. They're pushing for a dramatic execution in the club. They say it's the only way to appease the patrons of Chester's.
I always wanted to go out in a big way, I say. Maybe we could do some fireworks, huh? I think there's some left up at that old petrol station on Eau Claire.
Nobody's executing anyone, Joe says. She's a child.
I'm not a feckin' child. I don't think I was even born that way.
I told them I believe you can be useful,
Riordan says.
That I can control you.
I bristle and rattle my chains. Nobody controls me. Not anymore.
They say you'll never answer to anyone. Not even Barons is on my side.
No doubt, because TP was telling Barons to tell Riordan to kill me. Or let her do it.
It's 8 against 1,
he says.
It's 8 against 2, Joe says. If you count her sister, she sees. And you'd better. It's 8 against thousands.
Your numbers have been severely diminished,
Riordan says.
Worldwide, we're over 20,000.
I didn't know that, I say to Joe. Why didn't I know that? To Riordan, I say, dude, kill me or free me.
If you kill her, Joe says, you'll incur the wrath of every she-seer in the world. They'll hunt you. Danny's a legend among us. We won't lose her.
If I decide to kill her,
Riordan says,
no one will ever know what happened to either of you.
I blink, mentally replaying what Joe said again and again, but I can't hear it enough. Really? I'm a legend? Like, around the whole world they know of me? Say it again. I preen. I had no idea. There might be a little swagger left in my body after all. I cock a jaunty hip.
Let her go, Joe says to Riordan, and I'll stay in her place.
The fuck you'll stay? I explode.
You're offering to stay here, chained up, with me, in exchange for her.
A smile plays at his lips.
As long as you have me as a hostage, she'll behave.
The fuck you'll stay? I say again, since nobody reacted like they were supposed to, like by obeying me, or paying any attention to me at all.
I haven't forgotten what you did to my cell phone, she-seer.
Riordan says.
You were taking pictures on our property. It's private,
Joe says.
You're on my property. It's private.
I'm not taking pictures. I came to take back something that's ours. Something that you had no right to take.
I'm not a something. Or a child, I say.
She had no right to kill the patrons of my club. She'd been warned, repeatedly.
And you know how well she listens. You shouldn't have brought her into your club and left her alone with a sword. Could you possibly be that stupid?
Dudes! Quit talking about me like I'm not here.
Shisia, tread lightly,
he says to Joe, and his voice goes real soft. Soft from riot and is never good.
Let me stay in her place. She's just a kid.
I'm not a kid, and she's not fucking staying here. Nobody's staying here, except maybe me.
You do understand what it would mean,
he says to Joe. Like I'm not even having a violent, noisy fight with a wall and four chains.
If she makes a single misstep, you're dead.
I feel the blood drain from my face. I always misstep. Misstep is my middle name, right after Mega. I can't not misstep. I have feet.
I understand.
She doesn't mean it!
I shout. She doesn't even know what she's talking about. She doesn't have any clue what you dudes are really like. Besides, I don't really even care about her at all. You can kill her, so you may as well let her go.
Shut up, Danny, Joe says.
You'll have to sign an employment application,
Riordan tells Joe.
Don't sign it, Joe. He's got some kind of spell on it.
Am I being held hostage or applying for a job?
Joe says.
I'm short a few waitresses. Some of them were.
Riordan gives me a look.
Collateral damage the other day.
I didn't kill any humans.
Two of them had enough Unseelie in them that apparently you couldn't tell the difference.
Riordan says. I killed humans? How much Unseelie had they eaten?
You want me to be a waitress?
Joe says, horrified, like it's a fate worse than death.
I tried to wait tables in high school. I can't. I drop plates, I spill drinks. I'm a researcher, a linguist. I live in my head, I don't wait tables.
Conveniently, I have two applications handy.
Riordan withdraws a folded packet of papers from his pocket.
Why two? I ain't waiting tables,
I say belligerently.
I have to serve Faye,
as in take orders and fill them,
and bring things to their tables?
Joe can't seem to wrap her brain around it. Like she'd rather stay chained to the wall than wait tables.
And my men. Occasionally, I imagine, even me. With a smile.
He looks her up and down, slow-mo.
You'll look good in the uniform. Do we have a deal?
In typical Riordan fashion, his voice doesn't rise at the end of the question. He knows they have a deal. He can read Joe like a book with see-through covers. My chains rattle as I test them with everything I've got. He is not putting Joe to work in the kiddie subclub. She's got the kind of face that's so delicate and pretty that she can wear really short hair like she does and look totally hot. Even those stupid glasses she wears when she reads just make her look good because they make her bones seem even more dainty. She has something ethereal. She is not wearing a short plaid skirt, tight white blouse, socks and baby doll heels. She will not be waiting on him and his men. Jesters will swallow her up like a tasty morsel and spit out blood and gristle.
No, Joe, I say flatly. Don't you dare.
We have a deal,
Joe says. He unchains Joe, hands her the application and a pen. She flattens it out on the wall and signs it without even reading it. He folds it up and hands it back to her.
Take the elevator back up the way you came. Lore is waiting for you there. He'll get you a uniform. You start tonight. You have a single priority. Make my patrons happy.
Lore is waiting for me, Joe says. She pushes a hand through her short dark hair and gives him a look that kind of surprises me. It's got so much balls in it.
I thought you said your men expected you to kill us.
If you don't hand him the signed application, he will. I suggest you make sure he sees it the instant you get off the elevator.
What about Danny?
She'll be up soon.
She comes with me now,
Joe says.
Never tell me what to do.
Riordan's talking soft again, and I don't know about Joe, but it gives me a shiver when he speaks like that.
Get out of here, you stupid feckin' she-sheep! I say. I'll be fine.
I'd have been finer if you'd never showed up.
He owns her now. He's got some kind of spell on her. It pisses me off so bad I'm shaken. After Joe leaves, Riordan glides toward me in that weird fluid way he has. He didn't move that way in front of Joe. He walked all slow-mo when she was here. I see the glint of a silver knife in his hand.
Dude, no need to cut me. I'll sign the feckin' application. Just give me a pen.
I have to get out of here. I have to save Joe. She put herself on the line for me. I can't stand it.
Kid, when will you learn?
You'd be amazed the things I know.
You might be able to thrash your way out of a spiderweb. But thrashing in quicksand doesn't work. The harder you fight, the more ground you lose. Struggling merely expedites your inevitable defeat.
Never been defeated. Never will be.
Rowena was a spiderweb.
He touches my cheek with the hand holding the knife. The silver glints an inch from my eye.
Do you know what I am?
A great big pain in my ass.
Quicksand. And you're dancing on it.
Dude, what's with the knife?
I'm not interested in ink anymore. You're going to sign my contract in blood.
Thought you said it was an application. I say pissily.
It is, Danny. To a very exclusive club. What's mine?
Ain't nobody's.
Sign.
You can't make me.
Or Joe dies slowly and painfully.
Dude, why are you still talking? Unchain me and give me the fucking contract already.
There's a guillotine above my neck. I hear it swishing as it slices through the air. There's a name carved into the shiny blade. Joe. I see it in my periphery with every step I take. It's going to make me nuts. After I sign his feckin' contract, I got a paper towel in my fist because my palm's still bleeding where he cut me. He lets me go. Just like that. Unchains my other arm and legs. Offers to heal me. To which I say a great big kiss my booty. Then escorts me to the elevator and tells me to go wherever my current version of home is. I expect him to tell me I have to move into Chester's so he can watch my every move, like Barons did with TP. I expect him to go all control freak on me. I don't expect him to give me my sword back and send me on my way with a casual reminder to show up for work tomorrow at 8 p.m. He says there's something else he wants me to see. I hate this. He's not reeling off 1001 Riordan commandments like I thought he would. He's given me all kinds of rope to hang myself with. I tie knots with rope, and I move really fast. It's inevitable I'll get tangled up in all that rope somehow, with a loop or two around my neck. How am I going to get Joe out of this? Four of his big scarred dudes are waiting for me when I get off the elevator. I glance warily around for Barons and TP as I wave my contract, big and noisy, at Riordan's men, so they don't give me any grief before they take it from me, to put it wherever it is Riordan plans to keep it, and I'm going to have to eventually steal it back from. I'm out of protein bars, and not in the mood for a pissing contest. Fortunately, TP is nowhere to be seen. I hit the bathroom under heavy guard. What do they think I'll do? Blow the place up? I can't. I don't have my backpack. No McHalo either. They didn't bring it when they nabbed me at Dancer's. I'd look out a window, but there aren't any in the club. My bones tell me it's night. I don't take chances with shades. I refuse to die so stupidly. I need flashlights, I say, blowing out of the bathroom. One of the dudes grunts and walks away. The rest of them escort me through the subclubs. I get stared at by every fae we pass. There's murder in their eyes. Something weird happens to me on the way out. Freeze framing feels like picking myself up mentally and shifting sideways into a different way of being, and I like it. Now, as I walk out and see all the pissed off faces, human and fae, a completely different part of me gets picked up and shifted sideways without me even trying. In fact, I'm pretty sure I'm resisting. And I don't like it one bit, because all of a sudden I'm seeing my world with what feels like totally different eyeballs. I don't like these eyeballs. They see things wrong. The Fae hate me. A lot of the humans do, too.
Riordan's men want me dead, and I have no idea why he's keeping me alive.
TP?
Oh, feck it. Mac, the best friend I ever had. Mac, who made me a birthday cake and hung with me and treated me cool, and sold a piece of her soul to the Grey Woman to save me, hates me too. She wants to kill me because I killed her sister on Rowena's orders before I even knew Mac existed. Joe's life dangles on a thread held by my completely unreliable hands. And I have a thought that I've never had in my entire 14 years of life. And I've had a lot of thoughts. And it's a little muffled, probably because I'd rather not hear it. And it goes something like this. Jeez, Danny, what the feck have you done? I've always been a speedboat blasting across the Whitecaps, thriving on sensation, wind in my hair, salt spray on my face, having the time of my life, never looking back, never seeing what happens around or behind me. These new eyeballs see my wake. They see what I leave behind when I've passed. Boats capsized, people flailing in the waves, people I care about. I'm not talking about Dublin, my city that I always keep cool and impersonal with no real face. These people have faces. We pass Jo. She's already dressed and at her new post, paired with another waitress being trained. She does look good in the uniform. She gives me a look as I pass, part exasperation, part plea to behave. Her trainer stares daggers at me. I wonder if the waitresses I killed were her friends. They shouldn't have eaten so much on Sealy, I mutter in my defense. I try to shift back to the way I was before I got off the elevator. Back to Danny, the mega who doesn't give a crap. Nothing happens. I try it again, still feeling the breeze from that guillotine. One of Riordan's dudes, Lore, hands me a flashlight. Huh, gee, I say. Thanks. A whole flashlight against a city of shades.
They moved on. Mostly.
I roll my eyes. Mostly might be okay with you, 'cause, like, they don't eat whatever you dudes are. Why is that? Lord doesn't answer me, but I didn't expect him to. The second we reach the door, I freeze frame. I can outrun anything, even myself. 8. And I'm hungry like the wolf. I click on a flashlight and head for the nearest store I know of that still has Snickers on the shelves so I can replenish my supplies. I have a bottomless stomach, and it hurts from hunger. That's a feeling I take pains to avoid, especially when my head's still throbbing so bad. I'd put ice on it, but if I've been out for 3 days, it's too late. Ice only works if you use it right away. I root through my hair, find the swollen, bruised patch at my nape that's causing so much pain, and sigh, wondering what I hit and when. Some folks think since I'm always banged up, I'm a glutton for pain. I'm not. It's just the way my life is. Like I thought, it's night, so the streets are pretty much deserted. Folks do their shopping during the day. Those that do hunt at night do just that, hunt. They come out in packs, armed to the gills, and go after any unseelie they can find. A lot of the night hunters have a death wish. They don't know how to live in the world the way it is now, so they take crazy risks. I end up bailing out vigilantes left and right. Sometimes they run into Jane, and before anybody can say, "Don't shoot, we're humans," there's casualties. Everybody's got jumpy trigger fingers. Things sure have changed since the walls fell last October. 7 months ago, the streets were easy. Hit the night, kill some fae, then kill some more. The Unseelie were simple to take by surprise because they had such a low opinion of humans. They didn't see us as a serious threat. They do now. They're on guard, more dangerous, harder to trap, and impossible to kill unless you're me, or Mac, or a Shade. Shades are cannibals. Life is life. They don't discriminate. We have humans fighting fae, humans fighting humans, fae fighting each other, and all of us trying to get rid of the shades. I slow to a Joe walk, running out of steam. I need food fast. I already ate everything I had stuffed in my pockets. 3 days of starvation does a number on me. swinging my sword around my wrist. It took me months to perfect that move, and it is smooth. I duck into a convenience store with broken-out windows, shelves spilled sideways, cash register open and overturned. I can't see why anybody would bother stealing money. It doesn't get you anything. People's eyes are finally open. Money's as worthless as it always really was. Used to amaze me when I was little how everybody passed around pieces of paper that they all agreed to pretend meant the same thing when everybody knew it didn't mean anything. It was the first adult conspiracy I became aware of. Made me think maybe no adults should ever be the boss of me. I'm the smartest person I know, except maybe for Dancer. Not bragging. It's a real pain in the ass a lot of the time. Buying nowadays operates on something solid and real, the barter system. Riordan has the bartenders and waitresses at Chester's coach to take certain items he either wants for himself or can turn around for something else he wants. If you have a big item he's interested in, he'll give you a line of credit. I hear he gets favors from the Fae in exchange for making them a place where they can prey on humans. Though I hate Joe working at Chester's, in a way I'm glad, because I'll get more inside scoop now. Figure out what motivates Riordan, what his weaknesses are. Dude's got to have some chink in his armor. Everybody's got their kryptonite. I circle a pile of clothes and husks. Feckin' shades, I hate them. And head for my candy rack. It's empty. Not a single Snickers. Not a single anything, for that matter. I head down the cracker aisle. The shelves are bare. My stomach growls. Pissily. My knees aren't wobbling yet, but they're close. I turn my flashlight to wide beam and sweep it around the store. The place has been cleaned out. I'd blow out a melodramatic sigh, but it's an expenditure of energy I suddenly can't afford. I'm no longer swinging my sword or bouncing from foot to foot the way I do a lot. I'm not moving a hair I don't have to. My life just got harder. When you're a supercar like me, you either need a huge gas tank, which I don't have at 5'2¾" first thing in the morning, or you need to live in a city with a lot of gas stations. My gas stations are drying up. It's okay. I saw this coming. Dancer did, too. I squirreled away stashes of food, water, and medical supplies in lots of hidey-holes around Dublin months ago. Me and Dancer have been building on those reserves in our spare time over the past few weeks. He doesn't know where all my hideouts are, and I don't know where he keeps all his stuff. That way, if somebody tries to torture one of us to tell, we can't totally wipe each other out. I tried to tell the she-sheep to do it, but they thought I was crazy. They said that with more than half the population gone, there was plenty of stuff in the stores to last a good long while. I said somebody was going to try to monopolize food distribution. Dude, barter system. Food and water are the premium. They said everyone was too busy trying to survive. I said that wouldn't last long, and didn't they read A Canticle for Leibowitz? See how things trend? They said, what did A Canticle for Leibowitz have to do with food? And I said, should I start calling you she simpletons instead of she sheep? Do I have to spell out everything? Can't we metaphor some things? I hate always being right, I mutter in my head. Talking takes breath and breathing takes gas I don't have. I Joe walk out of the store and nearly have a feckin' heart attack when I see the unseelie prince standing there, half in the shadows. The half-out part of him is splashed with moonlight. But the moon doesn't glow the same way it used to before the Fae came. It's rarely the same color from night to night. Tonight it has a silvery purple luminosity, making half of him a black silhouette, the other half lavender metallic. He's tattooed and beautiful and eerie and exotic and gets my heart thumping in a way that has nothing to do with fear. My sword flashes up. My blade is long and alabaster. I lock my elbow so my arm doesn't wobble.
Easy, lass.
If I can stop sneaking up on me like that. How can I not hear him? Him and Riordan can both get the jump on me. It makes me crazy. I have super hearing. My hearing is so good that I can hear air displacement when other people move, for feck's sake. Nobody sneaks up on me. Both of them managed to do it that night on the water tower, and Christian just did it again. Got within 5 feet of me without me even knowing it.
Sword. Lower.
Why should I do that?
He's turning erotic, like the other UPs. My used-to-be best friend Matt calls them death by sex, Faye, because they can kill with sex. And that's the best-case scenario. Worst case? They turn you pariah like they did Mac. They leave you alive, totally addicted to sex, insatiable and out of your mind. The other UPs corralled me once, kept me between them and did things to me I don't like to think about. I don't want sex to be that way, like you're some kind of helpless animal. I've had helpless animal up to my eyebrows already in my life. What Christian is throwing off isn't a tenth of what the other UPs have, but it's bad.
I'll never hurt you, lass.
Says the unseelie prince. But I lower my sword, prop it against my leg. I wasn't sure how much longer I was going to be able to hold it up anyway. The muscles in his face ripple, like they're competing to shape an expression, and rage is looking like the victor, and I get the feeling calling him an unseelie prince might just have been a tiny error of judgment on my part. Been making a few of those lately.
Say my name, lass.
I cover my ears and look at him like, what the fuck? His voice just came out as big as a house.
Say my fucking name.
Thunder rolls in the sky. I wrap my arms around my head to mute his voice. Times like this, I hate my super hearing. I look up. There's no storm moving in. It's him. Influencing the weather just like Fae royalty. I look back down. A veneer of ice coats the sidewalk around him. A shimmer of crystals dusts his black boots and frosts halfway up his jeans. Christian, I say. He inhales sharp, like something hurts in him somewhere just from me saying his name, and closes his eyes. His face ripples, goes smooth like silly putty, just out of the egg, then ripples again. I wonder if I touched it, I could mold it into shape, maybe stamp some funnies from the comics section of the newspaper on it. Cracking myself up again.
Say it again, lass.
If it keeps him from turning all UP on me, fine. Christian. 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 He smiles faintly, I think. Feck if I can figure out what's going on with his face. No more than I can figure out how he keeps sneaking up. Holy flower chunks! It dawns on me. You can sift. You really are turning total UP. Like with all the superpowers. Dude, what else are you getting? If it was a smile, it just disappeared. He doesn't look as happy as I'd be if I was getting all that juice. I'll bet his fuel tank doesn't run out of gas. I'm so jealous I could spit. But that too would require energy. He moves forward, steps from the shadows, and I see he's carrying a box under his arm.
I'm going to kill Riordan,
he says. I unwrap my arms from around my head. We're doing normal conversational tones again. I tuck the sword beneath my coat. Good luck with that. You figure out how to, you let me know, okay?
Here, take this.
He shoves the box at me. I fumble for it, clumsy from hunger. It's slippery with a coating of ice. I catch it as it hits the ground. Oh, sloppy. I recognize the color and shape now that it's in my hands. And light up like a Christmas tree. Christian! I beam. I'll say his name however many times he wants. I'll crow it from the top of water towers. What the feck? I'll compose a jaunty ditty for him and sing it as I whiz around Dublin. He just handed me a whole box of Snickers. I rip open a wrapper, break the half-frozen bar in half, and cram it in my mouth sideways. When I toss my hair out of my face and look up to thank him, around a mouthful. He's gone. Three candy bars later, what just happened sinks in. I sit on the curb, stow the candy bars away in my pockets and pack and say, Oh, bugger. Christian knew how bad I needed food. He watches me. I wonder why. I wonder how often. I wonder if he's out there right now, looking at me from somewhere, and I don't even know it. Dude, I got an unseelie prince spying on me. Great. Tank full again, I swing by Dublin Castle. 3 days was a long time to be out of commission. I got a job to do, a beat to walk. A superhero's work is never done. Between patrolling my city, printing and distributing the daily, slaying on Seeley, keeping an eye on Joe and the other she-seers, and now working for Riot on all night, every night, there aren't going to be enough hours in the day.
Where the bloody hell have you been?
Inspector Jane says the instant he sees me.
I've got Unseelie spilling out of every cage. We agreed that you would come by 3 times a week and slay them with the sword, and that's barely enough as it is. I haven't seen you in 5 days, 5 bloody days. If you won't take your responsibilities seriously, my men will relieve you of that weapon.
He stares at the pucker of leather, where my sword's tucked beneath a long coat that brushes the laces of my high-top sneakers. It's May, and almost too warm to be wearing my favorite black leather. Soon I'm going to have to sling the sword over my back and deal with everybody staring at it, coveting it. At least now lots of folks don't know I have it. Then again, my rep is starting to precede me. Joe said I was a legend. You just try that, dude. I swagger onto the training green between him and his men. A few dozen of them are in full armor, sweating up a stink storm. Super smell is a pain in the butt sometimes. He's been working them hard. I wonder what's with that. It's night. He usually has his men out hunting at night, patrolling, keeping the streets safe. We glare at each other. He softens. He always does. He has a hard time looking at me and staying mad. He sees his own kids in my face. Jane's got a super soft spot for children. He and his wife have been taking in orphans left and right. I don't know how he feeds them all. But Jane's no dummy. I suspect he's got stores stashed away, too. Till tonight, it seemed like most of us were playing by the same rules. Take a lot, but leave some. No rules anymore. Somebody's cleaning the shelves. That's just not civilized.
Damn it all to hell, Danny. I was worried about you.
Get over it, Jane. I take care of myself just fine. Always have. He gets that look in his eyes that always makes me uncomfortable, like he's about to put a fatherly arm around me or wipe a smudge of blood off my cheek. I shudder. My sword hand's itching, and I'm all about scratching it. I'm here now. Quit wasting time. Which Unseelie you want dead first?
Do you know why we're not out hunting tonight?
I don't like being cued to speak, so I just look at him.
No room in the cages. Go make me all of it, and don't leave until you have.
He glances again at the pucker of sword under my coat, then does something he does a lot. He looks at his men, and looks back at me again, all cool and speculative-like. He's not seeing a kid when he does it. He's seeing an obstacle. I know Jane real well. He doesn't even know he does it. He's wondering if they could take my sword. Wondering if he'd let his men kill me to get it. If I told him that, he'd deny it to the end of days. He thinks he really cares about me. And, on a level, he does. He thinks he'd like to take me home to his wife and make me part of their family. Give me the kind of life he's pretty sure I didn't have. But there's 4 feet of a shiny metal problem between us, and it's 4 feet of immense power, and it changes everything. I'm not a kid. I'm what stands between him and something he wants for all the right reasons, and he isn't so sure he wouldn't do something very wrong for all the right reasons. My sword and Mac's spear are the only 2 weapons that can kill Faye. That makes them, hands down, the hottest big-ticket items in not just Dublin, but the world. A part of Jane is like Baron's. He wants to kill Faye, and I have the weapon he needs to do it. He can't help himself. He's a leader, and a good one. Every time he sees me, he will instinctively assess whether he thinks he can take it from me. And one day he might make a move. I don't hold it against him. I'd do the same. I see when he decides it's not a risk worth taking because he's still not sure I won't kill some of his men, maybe even him. I keep those doubts in his mind. The subconscious part, where all this stuff takes place. He says something nice to me, but I don't absorb it. Jane's a good man, good as they come. It doesn't make him any less dangerous. Some folks think I'm a little psychic along with my other superpowers. I'm not. I just see the ways folks telegraph. pick up on tiny clues other folks don't, like the way their muscles tense in their fingers when they look at my sword, like they're imagining how it would feel to hold it, or how their gaze darts to the side when they say they're glad it's my responsibility, not theirs. Funny thing to me is how their conscious and subconscious seem to be so split, like they aren't talking to each other at all, like competing feelings can't possibly coexist inside you. Dude, they do all the time. I'm an emotional ping-pong ball between paddles. One day I can't wait to have sex. The next I think semen's the grossest thing in the world. Monday I'm crazy about Dancer. Tuesday I hate him for mattering to me. I just go with it, focus on whichever feeling I have most often, and try to keep my mouth shut when it's the other. But most folks got id and ego living on different floors in their head's house, in different rooms, and they've locked all the doors between them and nailed sheets of plywood over that because they think they're like sworn enemies that can't hang together. Roe thought the whole subconscious-conscious issue had something to do with why I am the way I am. She said I have the neurological condition synesthesia out the ass, with all kinds of cross-regions of my brain talking to each other. Oh, which was always psychoanalyzing me. As in, she was the psycho and I was being analyzed. She said my id and ego are best buds. They don't just live on the same floor. They share a bed. I'm cool with that. Frees up space for other stuff. I take off, tune out, and do what I do best. Kill. 9. And it all goes boom, chicka, boom, 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 chicka, boom. What is this place? I ask Riordan.
You got lots of places around the city, kid.
I don't say yes. Lately, everybody seems to know everything about me anyway. And he doesn't say, well, I do too. When Riordan wastes words, he does it in the worst possible way. He gets all philosophical. Yawn the feck out of me. There's observation of fact that keeps you alive, like understanding Jane. And there's philosophizing. Way different things. The former is my gig. We're standing on a concrete loading dock, outside commercial doors at an industrial warehouse on the north side of Dublin. Royden drove us here in a military Humvee. It's parked behind us, barely visible in the night. Black on black, wheels and everything, with black windows. It's something I would have driven, if I'd found one. But I didn't. It's pure badass. And I thought Baron's cars were cool. I begin my investigation. There are no lights on around the building. Dude, got shade protection?
Don't need it. Nothing alive inside.
What about the folks that come and go?
Only during daylight.
Dude, night? I'm here. He looks at me, looks at my head, and his lips twitch like he's trying not to bust out laughing.
You don't need that. Whatever the fuck it is.
Ain't dying by shade. It's a Mac Halo. First thing I did this morning was swing by Dancers and grab my stuff. The Mac Halo is a brilliant invention. In Dublin alone, it's saved thousands of lives. It's named after my used-to-be best friend Mac, the person who invented the bike helmet covered with LED lights, front, sides, rear. I added a few brackets to mine for better coverage in Fastmo. Though I've always wondered if I could fast-mo through a shade even without it. It's the ultimate in shade protection. I heard they're going gangbusters around the world. Everybody in Dublin's got one. For a while there, I was making and delivering them to survivors every day. Some folks say the shades have left Dublin, moved on for greener pastures. But shades are sneaky, and it only takes one to kill you instantly. I'm not taking any chances. What does this place have in common with your club? I say. He gives me a look that says, dude, if I knew that, do you think I'd have enlisted your puny help? I snicker.
Something funny here.
You, all prickly and pissed because there's something you don't know, got to call on the mega services of the mega.
Ever occur to you I'm using you for reasons your inferior human brain can't begin to understand?
It's another of his questions that doesn't sound like a question. It's such an irritating tactic. I wish I'd thought of it myself. Now if I start doing it, I'll look like a copycat, Of course, it had occurred to me that he had ulterior motives. Everyone does. Now I'm the one feeling all prickly and pissy. I'll go into observation mode, ruffle my feathers back down into a duck coat, so I'm more likely to quack up than get pissy. Humor is a girl's best friend. The world's a funny place. I estimate the double doors of the warehouse at 30 feet, with an entrance nearly twice as wide if you slide back all four panels of the doors. The corrugated metal is throwing off such intense cold that my breath freezes a few puffs from my face and hangs in the air like small frosty clouds. When I punch one, it tinkles to the ground in a dusting of ice, and my mind attaches a pattern to a pattern. I see the dusting of ice up Christian's jeans. I consider it for a moment, then decide, no way. Fey royalty can minorly affect the weather around them. Key word there is minorly. This is major stuff. And Christian's not even full-blooded Fey. The doors are coated with clear ice. I reach for my sword. Riordan's front is against my back, and his hand is on my hand on the sword hilt before I even process that he moved. I go totally still, don't even breathe. He's touching me. I don't think when he gets this close to me. I just turn on static in my head real loud and focus on trying to get away as fast as possible. Riding in a car with him sucked. Closed compartment. Electrified sardine can. Rolling down the windows hadn't helped a bit. This is a gazillion times worse. Dude! I pump up the volume on my static station.
What are you doing, Danny?
His face feels real close to my neck. If he bites me again, I'm going to kick his ass. I was thinking about poking the ice, seeing how thick it is.
2 1/16 inches.
Get off me.
Get off your sword, or I won't continue to let you keep it.
Fecker can take my sword away like Jane never could. Like only the UPs can. One more reason I can't stand Riordan. Can't get off my sword till you get your hand off mine. Pressure much? I say testily. We both sort of let go at the same time. I glare at him, or where I think he is, but he's not there. I find him 20 feet away, near a small, normal-sized door. He opens it. His face instantly frosts.
Ready,
he says. You don't move that way in front of Joe.
What I do with Joe is none of your business.
You better not be doing nothing with Joe. I'm staying in line like a good little soldier. And feckin' A, does it ever chafe? Report to work at 8 p.m. Gah! Report! Like I don't have plans of my own. Like I didn't spend hours hunting for Dancer, and I'm not 2 Danny Dailies behind, and haven't spent most of my feckin' day working on one after whizzing out to the Abbey to make sure Joe's okay. She had some seriously sick scoop for me about the new segmented Unseelie, but other than that, she hadn't wanted to talk much. I think she's pretty upset with me. Nothing new there. If there weren't any she-sheep upset with me, I wouldn't know who I was, or if the Earth was still orbiting the sun. I'm behaving. She's safe. You just leave her alone. He smiles faintly.
Or what, kid?
You know something, dude? If you don't put a question mark at the end of your questions, I'm not answering them anymore. It's rude. He laughs. I hate it when he laughs. It tries to put me right back on the porno level of Chester's, and that just grosses me out. So I do the static thing in my head again. I freeze frame past him so fast his hair blows straight up. I make sure to go through a pile of dust and give it a little extra twist with my heel as I whiz by, so it shoots straight up his nose. A trick I perfected at the Abbey. He sneezes, just like a real person. I'm half surprised to find he actually breathes. The cold slams into me like a brick wall, and for a second I can't inhale. Then I feel him at my back, an inch from my figurative rear tire, like he's drafting off my freeze frame. It sets my teeth on edge, makes my temper hot, and breathing is easy again. Like the first scenario showed me, a frozen hush fills the space like those mornings in fresh, new-fallen snow, when no one else is awake, and the world is stiller than you ever thought it could be until you take that first step that squeaks in the drift.
I always wanted to have a wicked snowball fight with somebody on mornings like those, but nobody else has ever been able to keep up. Lobbing snowballs at folks is like picking tin cans off a fence with a BB gun. I flashed through the warehouse, checking it all out, fascinated in spite of being ordered here and bossed around. I love a good puzzle. What's freezing these places and why? A few dozen unsealer iced in the entry bay. Riordan has lower caste grunts working for him. There are lots of rhino boys iced in mid-action. Like the sub-club in Chester's, the place is killingly cold. It makes my heart feel dull and tight. I don't stop moving. Won't stop moving for anything. Rhino boys are frozen loading and unloading pallets and crates. Gray skin coated white, shellacked by a clear layer of ice. Whatever happened to them happened fast. They had no warning. Their frosted expressions are completely normal. Well, as normal as Unseelie ever look, I think. I whiz around two beefy ones, studying their bumpy rhino faces, gashed mouths bared on tusks, analyzing that thought. It occurs to me that maybe their expressions aren't normal. I'm basing my assumptions on what I know of humans, of how our faces react. Christian is proof that I can't do that. I can't even figure out when Christian is smiling. Logic demands I eliminate my assumption that the rhino boys had no warning. Can a rhino boy look terrified? What a no. Perhaps they show fear by something so small and weirdly fey as a tiny rainbow-hued glint in their beady little eyes, and the white frost is concealing it. I've never noticed what their faces look like when I kill them. I'm usually too busy looking at the next one I plan to stab. I'm suddenly looking forward to finding one tonight and performing a test. Any excuse to kill an Unseelie is an awesome one. What would do something like this? And why? It has to be a fae, because I just can't see a human managing to build a freeze ray gun that works on this scale, only to go vigilante. Then again, I can't eliminate that possibility either. So far, both places I've seen iced are exactly the kind of places I would ice myself, if I had such a wicked cool weapon. Most folks wouldn't believe that someone who can move like me, fight and hear like me, could exist. Ergo, I can't rule out the possibility that someone else might be so smart they figured out how to build a massive freeze-ray gun that's capable of reducing the temperature of places to the frigidity of objects in space. Given enough time, I think Dancer can manage it. He's that smart. Bugger, I have facts and no connections. I can deduce nothing. Yet. Suddenly, I see past the frozen figures. The warehouse is packed full of boxes, crates, and pallets, piled everywhere. There's a pile of iced electronics stuff that looks like audio equipment of some kind. I guess maybe for the club. Crates are stacked to the ceiling, and more stuff was being brought in when whatever happened did. I make one crystal-clear deduction. Riordan's the dude emptying the stores. Preying on humans, just like the Unseelie. Stealing our ability to survive, so he can sell it back to us at whatever cost he decides to demand. It's all iced, every bit of it. I wonder if any of the edible stuff can be thawed and saved. People are going to die because he's such a greedy pig. I'm so pissed that I smash open a crate as I go whizzing by. Oops, I say, all innocent and accident-like. Wood splinters, 2x4s go flying in all directions. Automatic weapons explode from the wreckage and skid across the iced floor, where they smash into frozen Unseelie who shatter like little glass goblins. Okay, so that crate had guns in it. It just means I kicked open the wrong crate. I'm so sure he's the prick stockpiling the food that I kick another, not even pretending it was by accident this time. More guns. I go on a smashing rampage. Each time I smash a box or crate open that holds ammo or guns, I get madder. Figures he'd hide the food from me before he brought me here. I'm about to kick open my fifth crate when Riordan suddenly has me hanging in midair by the collar of my coat, manhandles me and a potato sack girl over his shoulder again. Super speeds me out the door, slams me into a telephone pole and says,
"What the fuck?"